Welcome to another live session on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel, and joining me today is the fiddler, songwriter, guitarist, singer, Jillian Ray. Jillian, welcome to JPR.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are from somewhere up north in Minnesota, correct?
Yes, that's right.
There's a regional name associated with where you're from?
So it's kind of a collective of a bunch of small towns in the north. It's considered the Iron Range. It's where all of the iron mines used to be, and there currently are a ton of iron mines. That's kind of the main industry up there.
And they're still functioning?
Yeah, actually, my brother is a welder at one of the iron mines. It's kind of like the main economy up there is iron mining.
You got into music really early on, right? You were single digits in age, started learning mm-hmm. fiddle, violin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I started when I was 7 playing the violin, Suzuki style, as a lot of people
probably know
what that is. Yep, and I've been just singing like ever since I could make noise, basically.
Early on, was the design that it was going to be classical study, classical performance?
Well, that's the route I went in college. But before that, like I started when I was 7. And when I was 8, I joined this kind of traveling violin singing dancing group, I guess you could call it, with just the private teacher I studied with at the time. We were called the Singing Strings, actually. And we played a mix of classical, Scandinavian, American fiddle. We played some gypsy music. So since day one, I've kind of just sort of learned to have musical ADD and just play a lot of stuff, which is kind of just what I'm still doing.
And I'm assuming you went to college as a music performance major.
Yes, I did. So that was the kind of largest chunk of my life where I was playing strictly classical music.
Did you think at that time that that would be what you ended up doing professionally?
You know, I think I did, because just when you go through the motions, I mean, the goal is always, you know, prepare for recitals and orchestral performances and prepare for auditions. So that was kind of the biggie. So as I was, you know, going on auditions for orchestras and preparing for them, I was always kind of fiddling with like little old country dudes the whole time, or, you know, singing jazz here and there. And once I was actually done with school and it was a reality, like this is what I'm going to do all the time, I realized that I don't love it enough to only focus on just classical music. Mm. I do love it, and I still play classically here and there, but I kind of really got started with playing in bands and, you know, writing and arranging more original music then, and I just kind of caught the bug, and I'm still doing it.
With little old country dudes.
Yeah, little old country dudes. They're the best.
Was there something specific that you were doing? I mean, was it designs to be a soloist or an ensemble player or chamber music or...?
While I was in school,
really
my focus at the time, I loved chamber music. I played in a string quartet and a piano trio, and I played in probably 4 or 5 orchestras at one time, at any given time. So although I did do a lot of, you know, solo recitals and things and, you know, concerto competitions where you play with an orchestra, my personal focus was, you know, small chamber music.
Hmm. And when you started to step outside that classical circle, it seems from what I have read about you that you stepped out with both feet, because at one point you were in something like 9 different bands.
Yeah, actually, it was around the time that I decided to get my own solo project going. I was in 9 different bands, and the 9th project that I just took on, I learned all of the material. They had already had one record out. So I learned it all. I was ready to go. And then I just kind of had that, you know, light bulb go off. Like, I cannot do this and even attempt to do my own thing. So yeah. That's when I finally learned how to prioritize. And I'm still learning how to do that. Because I love to play. If somebody presents me with a project that I think is awesome, I'm going to, you know, bend over backwards to try to do it usually. So
the new album is called Heartbeat. It features a wide variety of styles, from country and rock and country rock and folk all on there. We've done all this talk about your fiddle, and yet you have a guitar in your hands.
Yeah, I do, which I typically only do this at home, so this is a special treat.
Just maybe. For us, right?
Who knows if we want to call it a treat, but we will.
What do you want to play first today?
I would like to play Lay It to Rest, which is a tune that I wrote on guitar.
With your dark curly hair and your killer smile, not a worry in the world. Nothing I do will ever impress you. Nothing I say will make you care. I tried my best, done all I can do. Now I'm thinking that it's time to lay you to rest. I'm not saying that I'm giving up. I'm just saying that I've had enough. One foot in front of the other. I can never tell by the look in your eye if you're pulling Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. 1 minute you're laughing, next you're pounding fists. And I should have known this would never last. Should have hit the ground running, never looked back. But love and my foolish heart could not resist. Nothing I do will ever impress you. Nothing I say will make you care. I tried my best, done all I can do. Now I'm thinking that it's time to lay you to rest. I'm not saying that I'm giving up. I'm just saying that I've had enough. One foot in front of the other. I'm moving on. Nothing I do will ever impress you. Nothing I say will make you care. I tried my best, done all I can do. Now I'm thinking that it's time to lay you to rest. I'm not saying that I'm giving up. I'm just saying that I've had enough. One foot in front of the other. I'm moving on.
That is Lay It to Rest. It's Jillian Ray live on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune pulled from the album called Heartbeat, but done solo acoustic just for us on guitar. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Did guitar come easy to you after that many years of playing fiddle?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I had taught myself guitar just after I had been playing the violin for a few years. My dad had always played, so just watching him and having kind of the finger dexterity, I suppose, from doing the violin training, I just kind of picked it up and I just continued to play over time. But I've never had a lesson or anything. I wouldn't say that I'm a wonderful guitar player by any means, but I can get the job done as far as songwriting and if I'm just going to play a rhythm part on stage. So.
And you play piano too, right?
I do. Again, self-taught, but luckily when you go to school for music, you have to pass a piano proficiency. So
right.
I had a little bit of classical training, but again, mostly by ear.
Yeah, I remember those tests. I passed barely back
in
the day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I had to redo it a few times. For us, there were so many sections. I think the school I went to just so happened to have like the largest proficiency in the state.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you pass most of it and then you go back and redo the sections that you don't pass. I did that a few times.
You know, a lot of musicians fall into one of two camps, either the musicians that are out playing all the time, and certainly it sounds like you're in that camp with all of the bands that you were in, and artists that like to go into the studio and record albums. I gather that you're really more of the former group and not much of the latter group. Was it a little tedious to have to go through the process of making an album?
Well, actually, no. And it's interesting you say that because I must fall just in between those two camps because performing is my number one. I love to perform. And currently, I'm in six bands right now. And, you know, I'll just do pickup work. If there's a show that I'm already playing at and somebody wants me to jump up, I'll definitely do it. But right away, the first band that I really started playing with called Too Many Banjos, we were out of Duluth, Minnesota. We recorded five records together in a three-year time span. So that was kind of my first experience with that. And then, you know, throughout time, a lot of the bands that I've played in, I have made records with them. And I also am a studio musician, so I'll play string parts or do backing vocals on records for people that I don't necessarily know.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I love it all. I just kind of am a person that likes to eat, sleep, and breathe music in, you know, more than one sense, I suppose.
Mm. You know, there's one song on your album that we have played a lot here at JPR that I want to ask you about, because there's this really fascinating breakdown in it. It's kind of a rockabilly tune. It's the title track called Heartbeat.
Okay.
And in the middle, there's this Eastern European gypsy thing.
I am so glad to hear you describe it as that, because that's totally what I was going for.
Where did that come from? Like, is that something that you kind of stumbled across when you were in college and studying music, or?
You know, it actually is pretty much a part of that main training and playing that I had gotten when I was a kid in that, you know, traveling group. We did a lot of, we called it ethnic music. It was mainly Scandinavian, like Finnish, Swedish, and Norwegian fiddle. And we also did a lot of what you would call gypsy music, which is pretty much Eastern European, like Russian, Hungarian, Czech, a lot of, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the composer. We did a lot of like Sarasate and, you know, the Chardas by Monty and all of that. So that has sort of been my favorite type of, I guess, quote unquote, classical music to play. And I love doing tangos and all that sort of thing. So I just kind of knew that it was going to happen in one of the songs anyway, and it just so happened to just organically come together, and it just fits so perfect in Heartbeat, especially with what the song is about and just the vibe of the song as it starts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just kind of magically fell together.
It's an interesting parallel to you, because you've got this classical background and yet you play folk music.
Mm-hmm.
And that music, that Eastern European gypsy music, falls in the gray area between classical and folk.
Exactly. Which I guess that's sort of, maybe that'll be my new motto, Jillian Ray, gray area. I eat that stuff up. I really do. I love it.
I want to ask you a little bit lighter question at this point, because I uncovered the video of you trying out for The Voice.
Oh my God. Yes. That is just resurfacing on YouTube all of a sudden.
Yeah. How did that come about? Were you prompted to do that by friends or family, or is it something that you wanted to do?
Really, I was kind of prompted by others. And you can probably tell in that video, that was kind of the first video I had ever made where I had a cameraman following me. And I just, you can probably see that I feel pretty uncomfortable. Like that versus my Heartbeat video, for example.
Right.
But no, I was, at the time, I had just come off of about a year and a half singing lead vocals and fiddling in this pop country group around town here, where we did, you know, all cover music, basically. And we played a lot. We had a really good following and everything. But it was kind of that crowd of people, my bandmates there at the time, and our kind of like fans that would follow us everywhere, you know. Everyone always asks when you're a singer, it seems, like, why don't you try out for The Voice? And I mean, it was a cool experience, I suppose, but it's just, I don't know. I don't really watch TV, so I don't watch The Voice, first of all. And I've seen American Idol when it first came out, and it's just kind of like, it's awesome, but it's totally not my thing. So I kind of did it just because I saw the opportunity. They were doing tryouts in Minneapolis, and it turned out that I had a gig that night because, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah, right.
So we just decided to do the video submission, and yeah, that's how that came about. No idea that that was going to be broadcasted publicly on the internet. So,
yeah. So did,
there you go.
Well, how did the, first of all, how did the competition go for you? Did you get added to an early round of the show at all?
No, I didn't, which I wasn't really surprised. I guess I was going into it thinking nothing was going to happen. And then I had later found that they have never had a video submission get accepted. Because I wonder if it's just protocol. It's like if you make the effort to do it in person, it's better or something.
Yeah.
And I also got a comment that my video looked too professional, which is pretty funny because like I hired a professional camera guy to do it.
Right.
So of course it looked professional.
So how did this thing end up making it on the web?
I think what it was, so Gabe Steinberg is the guy who filmed it for me, and he has kind of an independent film company called Flip Script Films, which they are the ones who did Heartbeat as well.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I think they just put it on their site as kind of another, a piece that they did. Or something. Mm.
Well, so. And much like today, it's at least it starts with you and a guitar.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I definitely want to hear you do another tune, but before we get there, I want to ask you about your music school.
Okay.
I mean, not only are you still in, what, six bands, you said?
Yep, six bands.
But you have enough time to be the founder and co-owner of a music school.
Yeah, it's really interesting how many minutes you can squeeze out of a day sometimes.
It's called Music Lab.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Where is it? And what do you do there?
Well, basically, the Music Lab is in South Minneapolis, and it started off just my friend Josie and I. We had been teaching kind of at a chain music store together and decided, you know, we've both always wanted to have our own music school, and, you know, we could make this really awesome and do it so much better. You know, that's what everybody always thinks when they go into a business venture, I think. So we just kind of did our math, figured out what we would have to do, and we found a perfect space, and we kind of just wanted to create a space where it was kind of accepting of all people, all kinds of music. We don't do strictly classical. We teach age, you know, 3 to 100, you know. And we do specify that all of our instructors that teach with us are gigging musicians as well. And we try to, anyway, provide a lot of performance opportunities for the students. So it started as the two of us teaching. I was doing violin and voice, and she was teaching piano. And now we have about 13 teachers, and we offer pretty much everything.
Wow. How many students?
Oh, God. Total? I'm not sure. I have somewhere between 30 and 40 personally a
week. Wow.
I know. It's kind of insane.
That's a giant school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, physically speaking, it's just a nice small little space. We have about 5 studios and, like, you know, a waiting area and an office. And we did just expand last year, and we opened a new space in our building called the Movement Lab, where we do dance and adult fitness and things. And we have kind of an awesome big performance space now that we utilize a lot for performances for the kids and the adults.
How long has it been open?
I think we just closed on our 3rd year.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It's pretty cool.
What has teaching newcomers taught you about performing or making music?
Oh my God. Well, I've been doing it since I was about 17, 18 years old. So for me, teaching is just kind of, I can't even describe what the experience is. I loved to do it. And I just kind of feel like when people look at me and they say, oh my God, I've always wanted to play the fiddle, because I'll get that a lot at shows. And I think, if I can do it, you can do it. So I just kind of want to show people, if this is something that you're interested in doing, it is not only an awesome pastime, but it's just like a nice thing to do for yourself in your life, you know? So, and it also kind of forces you, the musician, the instrumentalist, the teacher, to kind of think about things differently in order to get somebody else to understand it. So it's definitely helped my own musical ability a lot throughout the years, because I'm constantly thinking and reworking ideas, you know?
Yeah. Jillian Ray is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new album came out in mid-December, is called Heartbeat. I want to hear you do another tune, and then I will blow your mind with some nerdy trivia.
Oh, geez. All right.
What do you want to do next?
I will play Somebody, which I also happened to write on the guitar initially. Run, run, run away, run as fast as you can. Keep, keep, keeping up, never was part of the plan. Then you wake up, things have changed. Then you grow up, hardly recognize your own face. Hide, hiding out deep in the back of your heart. And keeps telling you it's gonna be alright. Then you notice that it's not. Then you realize in the end you're all you've got. Somebody came around, helped me forget myself. Show me there's more to life. But then it turned out.
trying to figure it out. When you're inside, say something's wrong, but your logic questions what all the fuss is about. Waking up suddenly feels like a dream. Reality isn't as real as it used to seem. I was blind back then, I couldn't see. The light inside the darkest part of me. Somebody came around, helped me forget myself. Show me there's more.
That is Jillian Ray live on Jefferson Public Radio, music from the new album Heartbeat. We should say, not to be confused with the other Jillian Ray that is out there, although probably it's a little apparent from the sound of the voice that you're not 14.
Yeah.
Or whatever the other whatever the other girl is. JillianRayMusic.com is the website. The album again called Heartbeat. So I mentioned I was going to blow your mind with some nerdy trivia.
I'm ready to have my mind blown
right
now.
You know the Pacific Northwest has a number of locations that are well known as the haunts of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Because definitely. I understand you are a Bigfoot nut.
It's true.
We've got a couple in our listening area. Humboldt County, Northern California, certainly. Lots of things called Bigfoot this or Bigfoot that.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30 minutes away from our studios here in Ashland is a bona fide Bigfoot trap that was built out in the woods to possibly capture the elusive creature.
Really?
So.
Oh, I need to see this.
next time, maybe when you've got a little bit more time, can I take you and show you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely down.
Sounds good. Jillian Ray, thanks for being our guest today on Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
And congratulations on the album and the music school.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening.